Now, I was once in a Mexico City airport, coming back from a mission trip that I had taken in school, and I was on my flight home to Milwaukee, just coming on home. However, the flight had been canceled. The next one, coming back home, was jam-packed. Now, here I am, a young kid, barely knowing the language of Spanish, grounded and stuck in Mexico City, of all places. If I had missed the next flight, I was going to be stuck at this airport all night. But then I spotted, in the jacket of a man sitting on my left at the terminal, a ticket. He was sleeping there, and a cane was propped up against his seat, and I thought to myself, silently, what a lucky break. If I could snatch the ticket out from this guy's pocket and then run like crazy through the concourse, I could just reappear in time to board my flight. And if the guy with the cane tried to come after me, he wouldn't be able to catch me because he had a cane. Well, no bad idea. As I came to my senses, I started to think here on this headline, Aaron Burst, Lutheran pastor, lands in jail. Not exactly a present that I wanted my mom to wake up to the next morning. So I began a conversation with the airline's ticket agent, just kind of begging, please get me home out of here. Any airborne thing will do. Give me a 747 jet, a crop duster, a hang glider, a kite, anything. I poured my all and all of my charm and all my amazing wit into this, only to hear her say, you're on the standby list. Awesome. The dreaded standby list. Once you're on it, you have no peace. There is no way to relax. Every airport announcement and every conversation the ticket agent has, it brings on another Maalox moment. You're going to get some heartburn. Every time you hear that. Ticketed passengers, however, those that have those tickets, they will sit there and read their magazines and thumb through their books, and they have all the peace in the world. They have the peace that we call that surpasses all understanding. So, for me, thinking there, I thought to myself, oh, to be numbered with those people that have a ticket to get home. Oh, to have my very own seat number and departure time. Oh, to be guaranteed that I'm on the next flight going home. Odds are, you probably felt the same way. Now, if it might not have been at an airport, it might have been long lines waiting somewhere or at the store. It might be in traffic jams. Who knows? Now, I can't guarantee that the next time you're like me here on the standby list that you will get a ticket, a place to go. But I can guarantee you that you have a seat for the final road and the final way home. Reservations have already been made. The fare has been paid. And in the immortal words of John, Paul, George, and Ringo, you have a ticket to ride. Now, for the young people in the congregation, that was a song by the Beatles. This is what actually St. Paul says in that reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, believe it or not. Hear these words. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. So we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. So let's talk about that return, God's return. We just celebrated the first Advent, God coming into the world. Well, we just started the message, the story of Christmas. We know that the story keeps going. We're on the other side. We're on the second advent. We're looking forward to God to come back. Because he will come back. The Thessalonians, these members of the church of Thessalonica, Greece, long time ago, were not only worried about their own departure, they were also concerned about their loved ones who had died in the Lord. They weren't sure what was going to happen to them. Paul, St. Paul, assures them and us that Christians who die, they are in fact only asleep. This is what Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 4. That's how Luke describes St. Stephen's death in Acts chapter 7 when he was stoned. That's what Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as well. And so Paul repeats the word sleep three times in this letter, 1 Thessalonians. When you die, if you die, for granted, that is, if Jesus doesn't come back today or this instant, if you die, we would be asleep with the Lord in comfort. Now, when or if we die, does that mean that we're automatically going to be resurrected and be in eternal life forever? What do you think? No. No. This is where it's going to change. This is where I'm going to change your minds. Our body, what you can feel and touch, some would say even the shell, stays here on earth. But our spirit goes to be with the Lord. Jesus said as much when he said to the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Paul talked about this when he wrote, "To depart from this body is to be present with the Lord." In another place, he says, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." When believers, when you and I as Christians die, their spirits, their souls, go to be with the Lord in heaven. And they sleep. They rest. That's why you sometimes will see on a gravestone those letters, R.I.P. Rest in peace. Rest, but not forever. This is where it sometimes will change what we think. Christ will return with a loud command, with even the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. Now, that's only one thing that we hear. There's only one archangel that we even hear in the Bible, and that's Michael. And this is going to be quite a day if you think about it. Those who are asleep, those who have died, will wake up. I don't know about you, but I hope that I'm alive when God does come back. Because I want to be alive, but I want to be in a certain place. Some people will be caught working. I want to be in a cemetery when God comes back. If you think about it. He says that those who are asleep will be the first ones to rise. I want to be in a cemetery when God comes back because the people that have passed away will be risen from their graves, resurrected in all perfection, just as Christ did on Easter morning. That's going to be a pretty cool, crazy sight if you think about it. That's where I want to be at the end of the world. Those who are asleep will wake up. They will be raised with transformed bodies. Well, what does that mean? It means if you die in the Lord, you've got a ticket to ride. So let's talk a little bit more, not just about God's return, but how about that big biblical idea about resurrection? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says this, "The dead in Christ will rise first." A long time ago, a Greek man, Aristotle, called death the end of everything. The French philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre wrote, "Death removes all meaning from life." Another French philosopher made this his last sentence, "I am going to the great perhaps." Not Jesus. He claimed, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he dies, will live. And because he lives, we too shall live. That's what resurrection really means. Now, there's another biblical idea that we hear. Not just God's return, not just his resurrection, but rapture. You guys ever heard that word rapture? Sometimes you've heard it on some of these stories. That's what they are, really, stories on the Left Behind series. They're not exactly biblical, but this is a biblical concept. The First Thessalonians says this, "After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." We who are alive, Paul says, will be caught up to be with Jesus. Now, the term caught up or gathered in the Latin version of the Bible is the word rapiermere. And it comes from the word rapture. To rapt, or to even rape, you got to capture. So rapture is a biblical idea. The problem is that sometimes people distinguish the rapture of Christ's church from the second coming. This is incorrect. What God, what Jesus, and what Paul is talking about here is that the rapture, the second coming, occurs simultaneously. There isn't going to be some secret rapture where only Christians will be taken away and then all the sinful people in the world are going to be left behind. No, this is all going to be at the blink of an eye. The rapture, the second coming, happened at the same time. That's when Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats, the believers from the non-believers. They're the same event. If you believe and have been baptized, then you're rapture ready. You don't have to worry about it. You've got a ticket to ride. Let's talk about one more R word. Reunion. 1 Thessalonians says this once more. "And so we will be with the Lord forever." How many of you have been to a high school reunion? Go ahead and raise your hands. Even one of them. I've already looked back. I already had a 10-year high school reunion. For me, that seems a long time. Now, how many of you maybe went to a regular family reunion? Hopefully a lot more of us. I think reunions are wonderful. They're wonderful opportunities to see friends and relatives that you love or might have not seen in a long time. But can you imagine this kind of reunion? People's bodies reunited with their spirits for eternity. Family members seeing each other for the first time in years as they rise to meet Jesus Christ. This is one part of an incredible family reunion. This is something that you might not have even heard before. We talk about heaven. We hear about it everywhere. We think that that's the final end-all, be-all goal for Christians. We live our life hard. We die, our body's in the ground, and our soul goes to be with God in heaven forever, sleeping on the clouds. That is not the picture coming from the Bible. That is a mere mountaintop before you get to the peak of the mountain. What God is saying here, and if you don't believe me, read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is all about resurrection. We say it in the Apostles' Creed. We believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. That means that God is not finished with us. God is not finished with those who have fallen asleep that have passed away. Our great-grandfathers and great-great-grandmothers, our relatives, our ancestors from long ago, from overseas even, we will see them and recognize them for all eternity when God returns to set things right. When Christ comes, things start changing, things start improving, things start coming for the better. When Jesus was on earth, he made sick people healthy. He made blind people see. He made dead people rise. If he did that, then he can surely do that for you and me now when he comes again. And the earth is no different. The crazy animals that would be out there to get us or hurt one another, they will live in peace and harmony. The prophet Isaiah said so much. The wolf will lie with the lamb. A little child will put his hand over the adder's den and not be afraid of getting bitten. There's going to be peace on earth, finally. Go ahead someday and look at that Christmas hymn, Joy to the World, which we sang. The lyrics shout about the reason that God comes in the world. No more let thorns infest the ground. That's what we have to look forward to when God returns. Things working, things making right. Bodies, even dead bodies, being reunited and perfected, resurrected. It's not a science fiction thing we're talking about. This is real life. And it's not reincarnation, that weird idea either, that we're going to be transformed into a living forever as a goat or something. No, God will give you your body back, a perfected body. My mom had, when she was working as a young girl in a factory, lost both of these fingers. She only has these fingers. Her body will be perfected when God returns for all eternity. We will have those things back. That's the promise we have. Not just to live in a cloud, but to live in a new heavens, a new earth, a perfected earth. That's the joy of Christmas. God has brought light and hope into the world. That's the joy you have as Christians. That's why we have a reason to hope and to live and not be afraid of anything that comes in our way, not even death. That's the hope we have of seeing our family members again, even if they passed away before we even knew them. That's the hope that St. Paul is giving to these hopeless people in Thessalonica, that little church over in Greece. And he's giving that once more to you and to me. This experience will top everything. I can look at every one of you and say with confidence that this is the most exciting experience in your life. And it hasn't even happened yet. Now, I don't care what you've done. You may have skied down the Swiss Alps. You may have landed that dream job. You might have purchased the dream house, gone on that dream vacation. You might have even skydived again and again. This is not skydiving. This is the opposite. You will be caught up to join Christ with a joyful and wonderful reunion. And that means no matter what you're going through, and some of you might be going through some still very dark days, regardless, as a believer in Jesus, you have something to look forward to. And nothing can take this hope away from you. Nothing can steal that joy from you. This is what we have to look forward to January 1st of every year. That we can take everything that might have happened to us the year before, leave it in the past, and like Christ, remember that we're looking always ahead. Forgetting about the past sins, because God has already forgotten about them. Nothing can steal joy from you. And by God's grace in Christ Jesus, you most certainly have a ticket to ride. And you should care, as the song goes. But how do we respond? Hear these words once more from 1 Thessalonians. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.